When you're ready. All right. The word for you tonight is true oneness in the body will not rise without our honoring the Lord. We have been talking a whole lot about honoring the Lord with our substance, and it has been the subject matter for the better of 2 weeks now. And we're learning a whole lot about it, and it's reviving and refreshing several of us that are staying in this word. And it's changing things. There's a changing of the guard, if you will. Money or mammon has taken a back seat where it belongs, praise God.
Amen, God.
I'm really happy about that. And we're seeing God outpour in so many ways, people of God. So many ways. Things that were tied up aren't being held anymore. There is a pursuit in new business endeavors that is just, exploding in so many of us right now. And there's so many things that are manifesting in the area of wealth. And I mean that. I'm not hoping for that. It's actually happening in ways that I can't really describe. I believe it was Elder Allison the other day. It was either Elder Allison or Evangelist Darrow. I told one of them, the Bible says when God begins to really bless us, it's going to be as though we were dreaming. And I'm starting to feel like this is really, it's a dream. What God is doing and what he's, and how fast he's doing it, it feels like a dream. God is into securing us in generational wealth. But before he does that, we have to have a transition of our minds. There has to be a renewing of our minds when it comes to honoring the Lord with our substance. So the Lord has been revealing to us a whole lot on the subject of honoring him with our substance, but we can't forget why he began to reveal this. And that's what tonight's all about. There was a gap or a recess place of the enemy that was standing in the way of him achieving this in us. Mammon, that was the gap. That was the recess. Mammon has been in the way of us achieving true oneness and ultimately becoming the body, the true body of Christ in the manner that he's ordained. And so now God has been really hammering at the bit. He's been killing that and putting that in its place. All right. So now we can't achieve this place of oneness and really see the anointing that God has ordained to come through us and reach us. And reach us or come through us to get to us, if you will. We can't get there until we have achieved the oneness that they did in the book of Acts. And I've said it throughout basically being my whole ministry career, that in all sincerity, in all truth, we can't get there until we absolutely reach that level that they were on. And so we got to go back to Acts. We got to look at it again. We're going to see some things. We're going to see something really, really profound tonight.
Amen.
So we can reach this place.
Amen.
Money was that last obstacle for them. Mm-hmm. And I can't even say it was an obstacle because of the depth of their oneness and where they were achieving oneness at, which we're going to look at right now. All right, we're going to see where they achieve oneness and get some keys that we haven't had. We're going to frame out some truths here. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul." I kind of stopped there in my studies today. I stopped. I had to kind of sit there for a moment because I believe it was last night or the night before, the Lord told me, he said, "Todd, we got to get back on to why I'm calling for honor in the substance." The reason why is because God's ultimate plan, yeah, he wants us to be debt free, and believe you me, we're going to get there. He wants us without a financial worry in the world. Believe you me, we're going to get there. I'm telling you right now, we're going to get there. But the truth be told, the depth of it is because God wants oneness so the body of Christ can rise up. And so now their oneness was in the place of one heart and one soul. The words seem to be a lot of the same, but there is a difference. And it says, "Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Now, we're going to go back to Acts 4:32 in a moment, a little bit later in the message, because we're going to get another key, but we're going to look at their oneness real quick. The word heart, they were one heart, it means thoughts and feelings, and it also means the mind. All right, the heart, when it's describing the heart here, it meant they thought and they were feeling the same. And I love that because that's real intimate. Amen. Because when I know when I'm in the Rhema word with you guys and we're really going at it, like on the More group last night, I know we were thinking and feeling the same. Amen. And I love that. We're Amen. Feeling the same. We get the same excitement about the word and about what God is saying. And our Amen. Thoughts are in perfect alignment. And then it says they were also of one soul. Now, I usually believe the word soul means mind, or which means what mind, will, and emotions is what the common definition of soul. But really, I believe that the heart here is really revealing that more so. And the word soul in the Greek here is really revealing the place of the spirit. The word soul means that they were of one breath. And obviously they were of one breath because they were breathing in the Rhema. So they were of one breath or one spirit. It also means breath of life. So in the same word, in the Rhema word, they were breathing the very breath of life that God was giving out. Amen. And that's where their oneness was coming from. Amen. All right? Their oneness was coming from the breath or the Rhema that, excuse me, that was being poured out. And that oneness caused their thoughts and feelings to be exactly the same as well.
Amen.
So they weren't just one in the spirit, praise God, but their oneness came. And this is where we can beat mammon. I believe it. That mm-hmm. our oneness comes in the spirit, like we're in the word, we're loving it. We're breathing it in together. And it feels so good. It feels so right. Mm-hmm. And we're gaining strength and we're getting might in the inner man. Mm-hmm. So the realm of, we're getting it in our spirit. But where I think where we get a line drawn is the thoughts or the feelings. Because some of us will still reject. And I'm going to look at the word up here in Acts 4:32 again. A key word here is the word believed. Mark that if you're taking notes. Believed, it says, and the multitude of them that believed. Well, this word believe, believe it or not, is going to reveal a recessed place. And I'm going to show you why in just a moment. All right? So now we're coming together in terms of breathing the breath of life. We're breathing it in. The thoughts and feelings are kind of, I know that the temperature of our ministry. The thoughts and the feelings are kind of wishy-washy, all right? So, and it's all because of this word up here, believed, all right? And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. So now we're reaching the one soul, we're breathing in that breath, and we're getting certain lifts in the spirit, and we're getting lifted, and we get most of the time we get propitiated and we're getting a lift and we keep coming on the line because we're getting that lift and we keep Amen. Getting that. We get it. We're getting breath of life. We're getting that. But we're not letting it run to the thoughts or the feelings. Ah, God, yes. We're not letting it run to the heart when it should be. Mm-hmm. But the problem is believing. All right? Now watch me now. Watch. So now, remember, the title of the message is this. It's right here. True oneness and the body will not rise without our honoring the Lord. Watch it now. We're going somewhere.
Amen.
All right. So their oneness was not just in the spirit, but it was in the natural. Their thoughts and feelings were aligned as well as their position in the spirit.
Amen.
How did they achieve such oneness? If we can answer this question, we too will enter in to the true riches of the kingdom, just like they did. We will enter in the same way when they began to move and God began to do everything from blessing their finances, breaking the back of debt, healing their bodies, delivering them from oppression and all kinds of demonic activity. Whatever was going negative and south in their life, they were delivered from it. It was a free-for-all of the outpour of God in Acts 4. Mm. It went off. It was something else, all right? Because of their oneness, remember. Now, to answer the question, we got to revisit Matthew 6 and 24. We got to go back. We're framing out some scriptures we've already been studying for the last couple of weeks. Matthew 6 and 24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one," I love you, Jesus, and love the other, "or else he will hold to the one." Remember that word hold means will hold back to the one, will hold back and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now the word mammon, this is key now. It means confidence. The word mammon is confidence, or we can describe it as confidence in wealth or confidence in money. When we feel secure because we have money, or we feel as though life is let's look at it from the reverse. And this is a sad place, but I think I'll hit more people on the reverse. When we become despondent or in despair, depressed, or any other thing that's outside of the joy of the Lord, all right? When we allow the lack of money to control our emotions, that is proof you have confidence in it.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's not look at the side of abundance. Let's look at a place that we've all been in, and we all have commonality in, that place of lack, how it controls how we feel, how we're either we've got joy or we've got sorrow because of the lack of money. Well, that means your confidence is in money. It's placed in money, because Paul taught, listen, whether I have abundance or have lack or I have not enough, I'm straight either way. I'm on an even keel because my confidence is in the Lord. My confidence is in God. All right. So now that's a test for you as an individual. If it's controlling emotions, and trust you me, money has controlled my emotions many a day. I can honestly sit here and say that, but not after the Lord has now revealed, honor the Lord with thy substance. Money's not going to determine how I'm doing in my day. God is going to determine how I'm
Hallelujah.
Doing in my day.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
All right. So now we're looking at the word confidence now. It's really a key. Watch this. I'm going to show you that without coming in to the place of honor, you're never going to fully join in to the supply of the body. Watch this. Back to Acts 4:32 now. Acts 4:32 says, "And the multitude of them that believed," now we're looking at that word, believed, watch this, "were of one heart and of one soul." Now, like I said, we reached the place of that oneness in the spirit as the rhema is coming. But the thoughts and the feelings we don't fully enter into. Watch this. The word believed means this: place confidence in. Mm. The word mammon means confidence. Mm-hmm. The reason why we can't touch the oneness in the heart and the soul is because some are having confidence still in mammon.
Yeah. Amen.
They like what the word and what the spirit of the word does in the midst of how they might be going through, but they're not getting the full supply from the body because they're not releasing their confidence that they have in mammon. It says, "And the multitude of them that believed," watch this, "were of one heart and of one soul." These believers had no more confidence in mammon. Watch, it tells us at the end. "And they said of themselves," and they said of the, and said, it says, "neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." So now they're talking about here that what possessed means, it talks about possessed meaning a substance here. All right. So all of their substance, the reason why they could touch a place of oneness in heart and soul is because they had already transitioned in their confidence.
Mm-hmm. That's God.
Their Amen. Confidence, my goodness, was no longer in the way that they used to live life. Their confidence was in God. And therefore now they would now come into a place of honoring God by selling all that they had.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm trying to tell you, there's a recess place still. You can't fully be attached to the body if your confidence is in the way you pay bills in terms of your work being your livelihood, in terms of that's how you're going to get. No. You've got to rise above that. And the only way you can rise above that is when you start to allow God to become more weighty with your substance.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
When God is heavier on you than your livelihood, than your hanging out, then you're eating out, then you're doing this and doing that. But now God is first, not just in your tithe, not just in your first fruit. When God becomes first with the entirety of what you have,
yes.
Where now you're looking to God saying on a daily basis, like Job did continually.
Thank you, Lord.
When you talk to God continually, Lord, is there anything else I can do for
Jesus.
You?
Jesus.
I've Amen. Given my tithe. I've given my first fruit. And this is what's left. I know you've Hallelujah. Given me money for my bills. And I know I'm taking care of my bills. But Lord, is there anything even prior to my paying my bills? That's the connection there. Where is your confidence? You keep getting a good blast, a good uplift in the spirit. But if you really search your thoughts and feelings after the word is over, are you honoring with your substance? Or do your thoughts and feelings go somewhere else? Do your thoughts and feelings, is this where do you get your spirit filled or you get a good jolt in the spirit to lift you, but then you're still in control of your thoughts and feelings? If you are, let me tell you why you're still in control of your thoughts and your feelings. Because your confidence really isn't in the Lord.
Jesus.
Your confidence is still in mammon. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. That's why doors are still open in our lives at times. I'm telling you the straight up and down truth. Because it's the root. It opens the door for every evil work. Mm-hmm. It does. I'm not sugarcoating this no more. It mm-hmm. does. It okay. opens the door for every faulty mistake we make, for every unrighteous act we do. But when we begin to honor the Lord with our substance, even Satan had to give a shout out for what God does for a man that honors. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He said, "Why would I even bother? Does Job honor you for nothing?" He told mm-hmm. those are exact words. He used the word fear, but the word fear in the Hebrew means honor.
Yes, it
does. Does Job honor you for nothing? He's saying, then he said, you put a hedge around him. You bless all his business affairs. I can't touch him on any side of his life. Nowhere in his life I can't get in. I've tried to get in, but he's covered. Why? Because does Job honor you for nothing? God had to let the hedge down for Satan to get in. Job's honor put up a hedge where Satan couldn't get in. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You see, when our confidence is still in unrighteous mammon, that I'm not trying to make you question your belief or how much of a believer you are, but I am trying to make you question it. I really want you to see it for yourself. Because once you become a person that does Proverbs 3:9, and you begin to, God becomes more weighty with what you have in your life. I'm going to go all the way there. Whether it's clothes, shoes, jewelry, I don't care. God is more weighty. God has access to speak to you on all of your possessions at any given time. And once you've opened up that, you have now placed your confidence in the Lord. Now we can rise as a people and enter into true oneness and become the body that we're supposed to be and walk in the anointing that we're supposed to walk in.
Thank you, Lord.
And watch the power of God become a wrecking ball to everything that is a deficit in our lives. Thank you.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God.
True believers have placed their confidence in Christ. True believers honor the Lord with their substance. We will never become his true body and enter into oneness when some of our confidence is still in our money as being our source. I got a lot of things going on in my life, and I need, and the only one that can get me out is God. I need him, and I'm so grateful for his word. I'm not running scared because I don't have any. I'm so propitiated in what God is doing and processing through me. I'm in a place where my freedom is coming by the rhema and the truth of God's word. I dwelled here, and I have no shame in saying it. I dwelled in this place, and I'm so grateful that God has reopened the door.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
For me to dwell here again. My greatest financial achievements was in this realm.
Hallelujah.
I've had some really good financial achievements in my life, but my greatest were in the realm where I honored the Lord with my substance.
Bless God.
And the thing of it was, hallelujah, I didn't even know I was doing it. How much more is God going to bless me now that I understand what I'm doing?
Amen.
Amen.
How much more?
Thank you.
I think I might have been living on 30. Now I'm going to bypass 60 and I'm going right to 100-fold.
Bless God. Amen, Lord.
Hallelujah. So how can we have confidence in God and mammon? You see, they let go in Acts 2 and in Acts 4. They were both spiritually and naturally in agreement. They were perfectly aligned. Because in Acts 2, they said none of them took thought of what they had was theirs. Then they said it again in Acts 4. And every time there was a sect of people to come in, they all got this notion, everyone is saying, let's give up our substance unto God. Well, I'm going to cut to the chase on one other thing. Let me tell you, when you come to this level where God has become more weighty with more than just your tithe and more than just your first fruit, but now everything that you have in possession, God, you're weighty about it. All right. So when you come here, God told me this. He told me you have just done what they did in Acts 2 and 4. You sold your possessions. And I'm gonna show you how in just a minute. You sold your possessions. And guess what? Guess what? The buyer of those possessions were the Lord himself. You sold them to him.
Oh, Jesus.
He bought them. In fact, I'll tell you one, and I'll show you in scripture in a minute. When he redeemed you, he redeemed your possessions too. How can you want to be redeemed? You want to be redeemed. But why can't he have redeemed? Why do you still own your possessions? How is it that if you bought someone, if you buy someone, listen, I don't mean to talk about it, but slaves, anything in a slave's possession became their master's. When Jesus redeemed us unto the Father, he redeemed us entirely. So how are you putting your stuff on the side like it's yours?
Wow.
Watch, I'm going to show you in just a minute. All right, but let's go back. Let's do the confidence test. Back to Proverbs 3 and 9. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance, all right, and with the first fruit of all of thine increase. The word honor means, we've been learning last couple weeks, is kabod. It means to be heavier or more weighty. Now, do the test yourself. After you do your tithing and your first fruit, how weighty is it that you keep your resources in the service of the Lord? How weighty is it on you that you continue to have an open hand unto the Lord in case there's a seed that he wants you to sow, in case there's a meal he wants you to buy unto someone, in case he wants you to sow into the ministry or a ministry work or wherever the Lord leads you? How weighty is it? Or does that rest that you have left become yours? Some people have gotten so bad that all of it's theirs. God don't get enough. God don't get nothing. They put themselves completely first, but yet they want to be redeemed of him. But I don't get it. I don't understand it. But their stuff is there, but they are belong to the Lord. I can't fathom that anymore. I can't fathom it. He's the master over me, but I'm the master over my stuff. How? Mm-hmm. No, he's Lord, period. L-O-R-D, yes, he is Lord over it all. So now the honor test here, the confidence test is, where are you? What's weightier on you? Is it your needs, your wants, your desires? Are those things heavier? All right. That means there is a problem in how you believe. Because if that is more weighty, then there's something off in you being, in you calling yourself, or you saying that, or I don't want to put it so harshly, but I can't say it any other way. There's a problem with you saying that you're a believer. Because the word believer means to put confidence in.
Yes, it does.
I can't water that down. It means you put your confidence in. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord, let the Lord be heavier or more weighty. The word substance means wealth or strength. It really is looking at that word again, mammon, where mammon becomes our strength or confidence. So now, if God is not more heavy on me, if he's not weightier on me than me getting those new sneakers or a new pair of jeans or even eating out for that matter. I mean, before I go out, even in my bills, I'm checking, hey, we good? We good here? No, I'm not doing it out of religiosity. I'm doing it because that's how I feel now. God is weightier than anything. Than anything or anyone. You'll stop foolish spending when God becomes more weighty, I promise you. Things are going to change. And then 3:10 puts a hook on it. When we do this, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and your presses will burst out with new wine.
Mm-hmm.
Acts 4:32 and 4:33 come alive with great, great power. The apostles gave witness, and none had lack because everybody sold what they had and they gave out as they had need. So God, with that Proverbs 3:10 comes alive again. Acts 4:32 and 4:33 come alive again in your life. You become wealthier and you have the anointing of God fixing everything along the way. All right. But the test of confidence has to be done. Is God more weighty than your own desires, ambitions? Is God truly your source and not the money you make or have saved up? That's the key. When a believer disconnects himself from those things, he's laying his treasure up in heaven now.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer on the earth where moth comes in and thieves break in. And rust comes. Your treasure is secure. Your heavenly bank account is full. And we can make deposits and withdrawals. Every time we honor the Lord with our substance, there's a deposit made. And my goodness, his interest plan, you gaining so much interest in this. Oh, my goodness. In heaven's bank, the interest is totally different.
Mm.
Totally different.
Amen.
It comes so, it's so different.
Multiplying, I will multiply.
In multiplying, I will multiply thee. All right, watch this now. I'm almost done. So I never could imagine that we would reach this level of obedience that they did in Acts 4. I never thought. I didn't know how we would do it. I just never knew how we could do it. But when the Lord revealed honoring with our substance, it is the same exact level of oneness and agreement that they had in Acts. When you take on the mindset that after your tithe and first fruit, that the lump or the rest of what you have is still the Lord's, when you really take on that mindset, you have reached that level that they were on. You have, in essence, have sold your possessions, and the Lord redeemed, which means bought them back, just like he bought us back. Revelations 5:9 says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Well, the word redeemed means he bought us, or he bought us back again. Or it also means he purchased. All right. Tell me how, just as I stated, how did he buy you, but you still own your stuff? Think about that. It's not even logically correct. And what's also, you want to hear something else that's really also kind of sick to me? We want to be redeemed by God, and we all want to be his. But then we hoard over stuff.
Yeah.
But yet we want him to buy us.
Jeez.
We want to make sure we got a lock on heaven, that we have been redeemed. But then we put our confidence and trust and love into the stuff or the money that we have, because we use it the way we want to do it. We do what we want all the time. No. So now, did Christ our Lord buy us back and give us unto God our Father, but our substance, possessions remain our own? We are his, but our stuff is ours. That doesn't make any kind of sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, and a mic dropping after this. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. How in the world?
Hallelujah.
We're not our own, but our stuff is ours. You're not, you don't even own you. The most personal thing to you is you. And you don't even own that.
Exactly.
But you own your stuff. No. Get that weight up off your shoulders. Begin to let God become more heavier with what you have as possessions, so you can enter into true oneness in this body and receive the nourishment that's flowing through it. Fully connect yourself to the body. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all of your increase. Watch how God begins to flow in your life. Watch how the ingenuity and all of your pursuits will be blessed. All that you're pursuing, I'm trying to tell you now, everything you're pursuing is going to be supernaturally blessed. Your barns will be filled with plenty.
Thank you.
And the rhema word's going to flow like wine. It's going to flow. It's going to absolutely flow. But if you can't get into a place of honoring God, your connection to the body is not going to be on the level that it should be on. And that, listen, we've talked about it a lot. Let's stop living beneath our privilege. Stop selling your birthright for a bowl of lentil beans like Esau. Because in comparison to what God wants to give you, your substance is a bowl of lentil beans.
Yes, the truth.
And I don't care how much you got. It's nothing in comparison to what God is about to do and wants to do. But he just wants to be honored. He wants to be honored. Malachi teaches it. Malachi taught it very, very well. I don't look at the book of Malachi as a scripture that is controlled by the law. Not when you understand that it was all about honor. It was all about honor. That's what it was all about. God wanted his honor. He was tired of getting blind and lame sacrifice. He was trying to get second and third best when he's the God of heaven. He's their source of breath and life. He's their source of everything. But he was being treated like he was nothing.
Jesus.
Yeah. And I believe I heard it right. When he said, okay, you saying I'm like this? Well, I'm saying I'm going to be like this toward you. You said that my table's contemptible? I'm telling you, you are.
Yeah.
You're going to eat dung at their feast.
Okay.
That's what you're going to eat. Because you don't honor me, so God says right back at you, I'm not going to honor you either. And God wants to honor you. He wants to put a parade. He wants to have a parade in your honor. He wants to lift you up and walk you around, parade you through the streets, and show everybody that you're his.
Amen. Amen.
God wants to bless you is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
But he is a great king and he deserves his honor. And the funny thing about honoring God, and I'm absolutely finished, you're not honoring him for him. You honor him for you.
That's the truth.
That's what he's trying to get here. He said, I want to bless you so you can be a blessing. I'm going to bless you. First you, and then you'll bless someone else. So shall your barns be filled with plenty and your presses will burst out with new wine. The body will rise. We will rise. We will rise, praise God.
Amen, Lord God.
Amen. I'm done right there. I'm finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah.